love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 13th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have an awesome show for you tonight. Get ready. We have Mr. Angelo Barefoot Pookie White out of L.A. And he's an original gang member and co-founder of one of the biggest and most vicious black street gangs in the world. And he has turned his life over to Christ and is now working to destroy the monster that he helped create. So tonight we're going to hear his story, and we welcome everyone to call in and talk to Pookie tonight. The number is 347-826-7273, and we also have the chat line open, so you can get on and chat with us and ask us a question through there. I'm going to go ahead and welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and we just want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show like you always do, and I'd like to miss to say we have a great show for you tonight, and we ain't going to, you know, delay you no further. We're going to bring the man himself to the stage, and we're going to ask him to formally introduce himself and break it down on how it all got started, you know. Over to you.
Yeah, my name is Angelo Barefoot Pookie White. I am a co-founder and an original member of the original West Side Crips. I started gangbanging at a young age. I'm out of Cleveland, Ohio, originally. I moved to California, Los Angeles, in 1964. The Crips started in 1971. I had been involved in several gangs before that time. And then in 1971, the gang that I was co-founded with was the Smacks on the west side of Los Angeles. We joined up with Raymond Washington and the East Side Crips. And from there, we became the notorious Crip gang of Los Angeles, the mega street gang violence of Los Angeles, California, which spread it abroad. In 1973, 72, I started the Crip multiplication in Turfall. And when it was, we started Rain Washington's legacy, where we start multiplying Crips in every, with new name sets all over United, all over Los Angeles to abroad. And that was in 1972, went all the way to 1973, 1975. Later on, I've been in the streets. After that, I've been through the ringers, been to jail. I've been to pen three times. I've been shot a few times, and I've been stabbed a few times. And I turned my life over to Christ at a young age, around 25 years old. But I still deal with the streets, you know. And you know, my life doesn't mean anything. It's not complete until I can get a hold and touch these kids. And I like to thank Boyd and Lucinda for having me on the show, and give all the glory to the God. And I thank you very much.
Go ahead, Boyd. So, Pookie, you came from Ohio?
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland. Okay, so how old were you when you moved to L.A.?
I was 8 years old when I moved to L.A. Prior to that, I had been, my uncle was the leader of a gang in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was turned out very young. I got initiated into the gang at the age of 7, and where they took me to the projects to fight other boys my age, and then it got to a point where I started fighting boys older than myself, and I took that to Los Angeles with me. And during that time, 1964, it was during the Civil Rights Movement. You know, so there wasn't too many gangs there because the civil rights movement, the Black Panthers and different other organizations had overshadowed the gangs there, like the Slawsons, the Gladiators, the Businessmen.
Go ahead.
No, the my generation, the 50s and the 60s, is the baby boom generation, and that's why we were so huge. You know, when we came out, we were so huge, you know, because we were the baby boom generation of the 50s and 60s. So we had evolved during the late 60s and 70s.
Right. So now, even though you were, you know, you were in a gang, obviously, at a young age in Cleveland, you came to L.A., and, you know, set us straight on this, because there's so many stories, you know, obviously, about Tukey and Raymond and how everything got started in L.A., but we definitely know that the Black Panther Party was there, and Raymond didn't believe in, he was a fighter, but he didn't believe in the guns and that, and... Right. But he was just trying to get pretty much, I don't know, you tell me, even though he was a fighter, he was trying to get more of a political group together to maybe stand up together. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that? And
well, Raymond Washington, Bunchy Carter stayed down the street from Raymond Washington. Raymond Washington was at first a Baby Avenue along with Big Munson. And then Big Munson... belonged to the story and was founder and the leader of the Avenues, Eastside Avenues. And Raymond at the time was a Baby Avenue at the time, and from the East Side. And during that time, in the early 60s, you know, during the civil rights, you know, Black folks were moving up and moved up with jobs and were able to have better jobs, better homes, and a better education by moving from the East Side and migrating to the West Side. You know, some unfortunate people on the East Side were still struggling, you know, more so than the people that had been moving up from the Civil Rights Movement. But Raymond Washington was the undisputed and the founder of the Crips in 1969. And
okay.
In 1971, we were already evolving, and we started the Smack Gang on the West Side, and from all the way from the 100 block neighborhoods to 80 block neighborhoods to 60 block neighborhoods, they were our allies, because my mother used to move sometimes four or five times a year, and so that gave me the advantage to move in all the neighborhoods from all the way on the West Side, from the 100s all the way to the 30s, and got familiar with all the gangs and the history of all the gangs. You know, so in 1971, when we started the Smacks, we co-founded the Smacks, we got into it with the Inglewood Crips. The Inglewood Crips was Michael Christian, two-time bodybuilding Olympic, and another brother who was moved from the East Side, who was with Raymond as a Baby Avenue and an original East Side Crip. And they had formed a gang in Inglewood, which is west of the borderline of the original West Side Crips borderline, which we were Smacks at the time in 1970 and 71. And they came to confront us, and you know, we dealt them a card, and we defeated them, and they brought Raymond back that following Sunday on our social tour at the Rio show. And that's what happened, and that's how we met. But what happened was we brought in the majority of the Crips. I mean, we outnumbered the Crips with our allies, with the 100s, the 80s, and the 60s. We outnumbered the original Crips maybe 6-1. You know, we made the Crips in the 1971 Crip conglomeration when we were in Washington.
Wow. So I think people think that Crips were the first gang that was ever in L.A., and that's just not true. I mean, there was obviously a lot of other little gangs popping up, but Crips became the biggest known or well-known.
Yeah, well, what happened was, like I said, we were the baby boom generation, and from the I watch as a 8-9-year-old, 10-year-old as at the Slawsons and the Gladiators and the Businessmen fight, you know, and fighting at the theaters, you know, and with their social hangouts in their church. I watched them fight, you know, but like I say, the civil rights movement had overshadowed those gangs back then, you know. And matter of fact, I was a part of Ron Karinga and the US organization at first. They had had us marching on the weekends and showing us, giving us, and just really showing us, educating us about our history and preparing us, you know, for the movement, the civil rights movement.
Right. So did you guys do, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Did you do anything together as a political movement, like the Black Panther Party, or, I mean, did it just kind of get chaotic and everybody did their own thing?
Well, at first, what it was all about, we had started because, like I say, the civil rights movement had enabled blacks to move from the east side to the west side to better jobs, better homes, and better schooling. So the east side would come, you know, with, who are not unfortunate. The east side youth would come over on the west side and you know, rob, steal, and beat up and you know, and do what they had to do, you know, to try to take over, you know, financially to get self-stable. So at the time, we were involved. So we had evolved as the baby boom generation around 1970. I was 14 at the time that I started. Raymond Washington and Stanley Tookie Williams, they're 3 years of my seniors.
Okay.
So at the time that Raymond Washington started the East Side Cribs, which is 1969, they started to, his legacy was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Crystal and Bowdy Multiply, you know. So originally what it was all about was us protecting our hoods, you know,
right,
from guys coming to our hoods, taking, you know, trying to just take over
right,
our social events, take over our schools and what have you.
Right. And at the same time, you guys were getting the Bloods organized and growing, the Crips, I'm sorry, the Bloods were just starting out as well in Los Angeles.
Well, everybody was a Crip. Everybody was a Crip. You had other gangs. You had the LA Brims was one of the oldest gangs in our generation, you know, in LA, but they were kind of remote from the west side and from the east side. They were more so downtown, north LA, back downtown, you know. And but at first, everybody was into Crippin', you know. Everybody was into Crippin' because there were so many of us, you know. It was like peer pressure in itself, you know, and the style in itself, you know. And so, but we made enemies, you know, as we grew and got bigger, you know, we made enemies. And it's just like the thing that's going on now, you know, with the peer pressure and the reputation and, you know, how we started off, which is just to protect our hoods, you know.
Right.
But once we flourished and got big, you know, it became another thing.
Right. And so how many gang members, I know it's grown and grown and grown, but today, do you know how many Crips gangs there are in Los Angeles?
Oh, it's thousands. It's thousands of new Crip names. It's thousands and thousands of Crips, and even more so, it's thousands of Bloods as well.
Right.
You know, then they have other gangs. They call themselves the Black Hats, the Black Rags. You know, you got the Red Rag, the Blue Rag, and then you have the Black Rag. You know, so, you know, it's just really, really, really gotten out of hand.
Wow. Yeah. And the Crips are just not black either. They're white. They're Asian. They're Hispanic. I mean, it's very diverse.
In
all the gangs, also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spanish, everything. But, you know, Raymond Washington's legacy was to multiply and have Crips in every neighborhood, in every turf, on every gang affiliated, every neighborhood affiliated with gangs, you know, on the east side, west side, and Compton. That was his legacy. And when he called, he went to prison in 1972, and that's when I started the Crip Multiplication in Turfball, the new name sets. You know, and that multiplied, and that went abroad as well. You know, you have Crip names that I've started that's gone abroad to New York, to everywhere, you know, and but under Raymond Washington, you know, under his legacy.
Right. So what did you do when you were... Go ahead, Boyd.
Yeah, I might just ask you, Pook, at the time, you know, that you start seeing things going out of control, you know what I mean? How did you look at the atmosphere then, you know, once it became not we sitting in the hood and protecting the hood, and then you see this pop up as thousands across the country, you know what I mean? What went through your mind when that appeared?
Well, at first, what really happened was the 1972 Palladium murder. You know, that's where Crips had taken Robert Ballou's leather coat. You know, the famous lawyer's son's leather coat. You know, and what had happened was, you know, it wasn't particularly the Crips that did it, but it was the just outsiders. You know, people seeing, you know, Crips. Everybody wanted to be a Crip. You know, everybody wanted to, back during those times. Everybody wanted to be involved in gang banging and Cripping. You know, whether it was fear, whether it was peer pressure, you know, or whether it was just to be somebody and have a reputation. You know, that was a thing back then. You know, so to me, you know, When it got out of hand like that, it was almost too late, because then you got the conspiracy of the genocide, you know, that came in, you know, with the pressures that the powers that be, you know, the prisons, you know, the drugs, you know, and all of this came into effect, you know, during the mid-80s. So we had a run from 1969 all the way to with us. The Crip Multiplication and Turfball lasted all the way to 19, with the first generation of Crips and Blood, it lasted all the way to 1975. And then from 1975 to 1978, it took off with a new generation. You know, and that's when you came in with the Crip killers, you know, Crips killing Crips, you know, and it just got out of hand. You know, then in the early 80s, you came with the drugs and what I call the conspiracy of the genocide. What they was doing, getting two for one dead and one in prison for life. You know.
Yeah, it seems like I heard a number. Maybe you know what it is, but in about 1990, there was, I think, over 900 gang homicides that year.
Very close. Yeah, very close.
That's amazing.
Yes, amazing. And the reason being, that wasn't only, you know, rival gang killings. You know, there was killings for Crips on Crips, and then thereafter it was Bloods on Bloods.
Right.
You know, so you know, it's just really, it's really gotten out of hand.
I was just going to say, it was the early 80s when everybody got caught up with the new cocaine crack epidemic.
Right.
And we know, obviously, that had a lot to do with a lot of the crime that went on afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like I say, the original Crips, you know, had evolved and turned of age then, you know.
Right.
You know, it 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 years old, you know, and 79, Raymond Washington was 70, he was 25 when he was assassinated, when he was killed, you know, and Tookie was around the same age when he caught his murders, you know. So it's always been a conspiracy of the genocide, you know, to do away. I mean, it's like a reform slavery thing, you know. It goes all the way back to the beginning, you know. It goes all the way back
exactly.
To the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and so since we got you on the show tonight, Pook, I just want to, you know, give a big shout out to Tookie Williams. You feel me? May he rest in peace. And the brother who turned his life around and started working towards uniting brothers and sisters together. So we want to just send a big shout out to you, man. And thanking you for, you know, turning your life around and leaving your works through your books, you know, to talk to people through your words. So we just want to thank you for that, too, you know.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Oh, ain't no doubt. You know I wasn't going to forget that, Pook. That's off, off top, man. That's out of respect.
Right,
you feel me?
Right on. I got you. Right on.
Already. So I want to ask you, how do you look at it with how Snoop had stepped up as well to, you know, seize that as well, you know, and being a voice for that, you know. And we want to give a shout-out to Snoop as well, you know, for, you know, Snoop been crippling for years as well, you know, and we want to thank him for reaching out to the neighborhoods, not just in his city, but across the country as well, you know, doing the same thing, you know, that Pook is doing. So how you feel about that, Pook?
Well, you know, I really think that not only Snoop, but Ice-T. Ice-T has played a part. We were involved in all in the same gang in 1991, and Ice-T was the one who brought that on, you know. So I want to also give a shout out to Ice-T as well. And I think Snoop Dogg is doing a beautiful job. But I think the rappers and the brothers, you know, all the rappers and all these guys, don't forget where you came from, you know, because you got people coming after you. You know, I gave back, you know, from my experience and from things that I went through, I'm giving back, you know. So, you know, they should in turn do the same thing as well. So, you know, I agree with you with that.
Right,
but there's always...
Go ahead, Paul.
I also want to give a shout out for Mike Concepcion. He's doing his thing. He was involved in all in the same gang. He got involved. He's giving back. He has a school now. He is based in Los Angeles for kids that are not very educated, you know, and helping us get educated, you know. And it really goes back, you know, to our times, you know, you know, whether being educated or whether being whether learning a trade, you know, we need to come up out of this and come out of this, you know, we really do,
right,
you know, because
right.
I look at the tape and I seen all these kids, you know, and they don't realize what they're losing and getting involved with their life is ending before it even starts, you know,
right.
So. Like I say, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, you know, and many times, even though I've been in and out of jail, all my young youth are always sought to God, prayed to God, you know, to bring me out of it. And then when he answered my prayers, I went back out there and did the same thing because I was in the environment, you know, I was in the streets, you know, in Satan's world, you know, so I had to survive, you know. Being outnumbered, you know. So I like to identify to what I'm doing now is trying to give back and share that. I don't go to these schools and I don't talk to these gang members, you know, like I'm this holy one, you know, but I talk to them on the same level of where I came from, you know, so they can identify with that. You know, but
right.
the thing of it is that you know, we're killing each other, and it's all about this, all about the conspiracy of the genocide. Just like, you know, I like what my brother Premier Rick is doing. You know, I think he's doing a lot, you know what I'm saying, trying to get back from what he did, you know, but we still have to realize that it's all a part of the conspiracy of the genocide, the do away. You know, you get every time a brother kills another brother or anybody, on the gang level, you're getting two for one, you know.
Right, right. And that's what I want people to really listen tonight, or that message that Pook just put out there, you feel me? It ain't just one going to the joint. You got about five going to the joint and then five going to the graveyard. So that's
right.
Five and five. That's dime, you know?
Right,
right. And what Pook is trying to express to you all is the same thing. At the end of the day, the streets definitely don't love you back. And your own homeboy, who you done ate breakfast with, dinner, lunch, and all of that mud pies, he up in your house trying to kill you. You feel me? So it's all a conspiracy for everybody to just kill each other off, no matter what color you is. You feel me?
That's right.
But the gang thing, that's the oldest thing in American history, man. Ain't nobody won at it. Ain't nobody won at being a thug or no big drug dealer. At the end of the day, there's two things going to be jumping off, prison or the graveyard, or you see me saying what I once had. You feel me? So we want to stop that saying what I once had, and we want you to get educated for you can have, for you can live up on that hill, for you can live whatever you choose, because an educated man is a man that understands that it takes education to build whatever I need to build as a solid foundation. So that is definitely what we're expecting here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Definitely. I'm going to get the kids off the street, get them educated, teach them how to read and write and do math, and so that they can be able to take care of themselves without selling drugs and robbing people to have what they need.
Yeah,
I just sit back and think, though. Right. We'll get to them right now. Yeah, our switchboard's lighting up. I would just sit back thinking, though, what if Raymond Washington, obviously his goal is to have Crips on every corner, but did he think any further about once we have all these people together, what are we going to do?
Well, Raymond Washington didn't think that it was going to be like it was,
Right.
I remember Tookie even said in his book, we had outnumbered, our foes and so much that, we used to mob through the streets in hundreds, on the weekends, our social events, and we was trying to take over everything. We was trying to take over all the social events, the schools, and everything. So, and with that effect, we would equalize by gunplay, because we were so big. We didn't bring the gunplay into it, They brought the gunplay into for an equalizer because we were so big, So I think what Raymond was trying to do, coming up in the ghetto, coming up in poverty, and what have you, is trying to live safe in the community, Because after Raymond done time, for a murder that he didn't do and going in and out of the penitentiary. No, that wasn't his ideal, for things to be like it was.
Right.
It just wasn't, I think that, at a time, we came up during a time during the civil rights movement, and it was all about equality and us moving up, and having our fair share in the community. And we lost our leaders, They killed Malcolm X, they killed Martin Luther King, they killed the Kennedy,
right.
they killed everybody that was trying to guide us in the equal rights direction.
Right.
So we had no leaders. Then in the 60s, the US organization and the Black Panthers organization, the conspiracy for them to start fighting each other, it goes right back down to the conspiracy of genocide. The FBI was involved in that.
That's on point too, Pooh, because they did a show about that on a BET special about how our government was turning Black Panthers against each other, sending little notes to each other. What I mean? And they falling out, see? And, once again, that go to trickery again, Because if your soldier been riding with you all this time, And if your soldier ain't did nothing in person, you definitely can't believe half of what them suckers telling you, So
right.
Everybody's twisted, So, that's how everybody started getting killing each other, and then once again, it's the black on black crime jumping off again.
Right.
The gang violence, then your homeboy who's trying to move you ahead, and that's where we have to cut that ball and chain as a unit, and we have to move. You understand what understanding?
Mm-hmm.
And loyalty to the game. You know, we can't be falling off and misunderstanding because they done shot a letter. You know what I mean? Talking about something because they letters always ain't accurate. It's what they want.
No, it's what they want. It's their conspiracy,
That's the conquer and destroy, homie. You feel me?
Right.
And then you know
that's
what that is. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now the creator has done got leaders like you, me, Freeway, Skip, you know what I mean, Snoop, Ice-T,
mm-hmm.
Ice Cube. I mean, all this here, if a person just listened to wisdom and reason and been there and did that and lived that, and you don't want to jump off that bridge with no water at the bottom, well, you just definitely need to start understanding that to our young generation.
Right.
You feel me?
That's right.
There's more
that's
to
right.
doing life than try to be a gangbanger. There's more to doing life to just want to go to penitentiary and get a number. You feel me? That
mm-hmm.
is old, brothers and sisters. That is
that's
old as dirt, man.
Mm-hmm.
Education, that's gets you out the hood. Education,
because it,
that's what gives you a good thing.
If you look at it, brother, boy, the thing, we are, you know, the gang members, the people, the poor people. I won't mention the color, you know, because, you know, poor is, I mean, poor has no color. But we are
Amen.
The majority of the prison systems and all of that. You know, we are the majority. We are everywhere, all over the world. We are the majority of
Amen.
It. You look at countries of Africa. Egypt. You know, and go to these. They don't even show the poor people over there. They show the people that have migrated after after Christ. Who have migrated after Moses? Who have migrated to these African countries and kind of take over the resources? So they want all the resources and all the power, you know. So the conspiracy of genocide, you know, is the key. That's it, to get rid of us, have us killing up each other. And we've been doing a good job at it, you know. We've been doing a good job at it. So I give praises to God and give Him the glory for brothers like us that are stepping up. You know, and that he give us the strength and understanding and wisdom and discernment to continue on to step up, you know, and give it to our youth so they can also in turn step up, you know, to their
Amen.
Youth. So, you know, so that's the way it is. That's the way it should be, and that's the way it's going to be.
Amen. You feel
right.
me? And you know what, man? With that being said right there, folks, we're gonna definitely show a little prayer right here. Because
right
the Creator has done brought me and you and other people a mighty long way, man, to be
mm-hmm.
here to say, look what He's done for me. You feel me? And once God
right.
gives you that kind of glory to look back
mm-hmm.
on your life and say, wow, look what He's done for me, that
mm-hmm.
is the type of gentleman and type of woman God is looking for. You know what I mean? He's
mm-hmm.
not looking for the hard-headed man or woman. He's looking
mm-hmm.
for the man or woman that's ready to listen to that little listening ear. So we're going to go down and prayer for a few minutes, Pope.
Let's do that.
You know, and all the listeners, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you humble as always, Father. We're thanking you, Father, for the young man, Pookie, for coming a long way in his life. We bless you for saving his life. And we bless you, Father, for all the brothers and sisters who are stepping up right now in their community all over the world, even outside the country of America, you know? We just need you to keep showing us our wisdom, our strength, and our knowledge, and our courage. And we ask in all our youth and people across the country to tune in and join the Streets Don't Love You Back with my man Pookie and the whole crew at the Streets Don't Love You Back in the Rising Center. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And with that, we're going to start taking some calls. We have our switchboard all lit up. The first call we're going to go to, let's try... the last four digits of the phone number are 5380. I'm going to bring you on the air, 5380. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hey,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on with you, Pookie?
Oh, hey, now, what's going on with you, my brother?
All right, man. I was listening to your conversation, you know what I'm saying? I'm out of South Central, bona fide Crip, you know what I'm saying? My pops
mm-hmm.
grew up with a turkey. Raymond Washington and all that, you know,
mm-hmm.
rest in peace. He is a Nobel Prize winner, which you didn't mention. I was just listening to how you was telling them the Crips came about. You know, your concept is, like, for real wrong, man. If you're going to get on here and tell people the real, tell them it's different sections of South Central. If I'm correct, you know, you out of Gardena, that's like a small section.
No, baby boy. No, baby boy. Like, you know what?
Hold,
I'm going to tell you something. Let me correct you.
Hold on. I'm a caller, so I have a right to address my issue. So
you're telling
the people, these listeners, that you battled with Raymond Washington. First of all, you didn't even tell him his name was Lil Crip because he got shot in the leg. So when you give your information,
that's what you heard.
Hold on. That's not what I heard. That's what I know. You know what I'm saying? He walked with a cane. That's why all the Crips in LA walked with canes.
Who walked with a cane?
So Raymond Washington walked with a cane. That's why they called him Lil Crip. So when
his brother, listen.
When you tell it right. My name is No Good. I'm 60, so I know my history. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, brother man? I'm from South Central West Side. I'm from the 100s all the way down to the 20s.
How you from the hundreds all the way down to the twenties? I'm from all the way down to the twenties. Like I said, you giving these people misinformation. When you get on the radio,
and you talk about Crips,
I'm from Rolling 60, and you talk about Crips out of South Central LA.
I was part of the first gang in the Rolling 60s called the Rich Room Avenues with Haim and all those brothers. You don't even know.
Never say you from the 100s to the 20s because Rolling 100s consist of East Coast, 30s, 40s, 90s, Rolling 100s, UGs, blocks. I give you the whole rundown. So don't get on here and give these people misinformation. You don't represent
the 100s to the 20s. This is my life.
How can you represent the 100s to the 20s?
This is my life. I represent Crippets. Let me tell you something. See, you don't want to listen.
you caller.
You don't want to listen.
Caller, hold on just a second. Let's give equal time here.
My whole thing is, I don't need to get into it. I was hearing his broadcast.
But you don't talk enough, though, brother, man.
A lot of stuff, and the stuff that he's lying about, he can't speak for South Central. He can't speak for none of us because dude is lying, and he a fake crip. So it's on me
to call him.
You're a fake crip. Don't use this to promote your book.
Thank you for calling in. We're going to go ahead and move it on now.
Yeah, you're a fake crip.
I know it. If I'm a fake crip, ain't such thing as the crips.
Oh, my God. Where did he come from?
Wow. I don't know where he come from.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we had another caller.
We're
going to discuss
it, but everybody, you know, has their opinion, and maybe he, I mean, obviously he's angry at something, but.
He got a lot of anger in him.
We're going to move to the phone call, the last four digits, 7061. You're on the air. 7061, you're on the air. Are you there?
I have no comment, Ma. I'm just listening. It's a hot topic.
Awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening in. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just listening in.
Thank you. We'll put you back on hold, and we'll keep it moving, and just keep on listening. Thank you.
We're going to go to 7550.
7550. Here we go. I think this is Miss Yolanda.
How you
doing? Yeah, it's me. I have to unmute.
It's okay.
My God.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Well, hello, guys.
Like,
I'm glad you guys are back on the air.
He was a very angry guy, wasn't he? He was a very angry young man. Yes, it's self-hate. We were just talking about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What he don't understand is that I'm 54 years old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My oldest son is 40. You know, so when he was just a baby, wasn't even born here, I was out there cripping. You know,
right.
Gangbanging.
Right.
You think I'm talking about right now. See, he's talking about his generation right now. He's talking about Big U and all those guys. Those guys came in. I was the first gang I was in South Central Los Angeles was the Rolling 60s. We wouldn't call it.
Yeah, Yolanda's on the line.
Yeah, Miss Yolanda, you can ask Pokey a question.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say hello, and I'm glad you guys are back on the air. And after two weeks, and I wanted to ask Angelo, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And you know, that's just really odd and so self-defeating to have a person to want to get on the air. And you have a right to express your opinion or to say, well, I don't know you or whatever, or we'll say, hey, if you were here, ask, you know, to say who you're with, but to argue about, oh, you're telling everybody wrong. But the thing about this, he's one of those people that he's still missing the message, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing the message, you know. And who would be bold enough to pretend to be a crip to somebody and to go around, you know, traveling and do all that. But, you know, that's just neither here and there, and that's really, really, really sad. But
yes, it is.
I'm glad there's people like again, Rob, LaFell, people like that are reaching out, however you reach out to touch people. And I was just wondering, Angelo, I wanted to ask you, in your traveling, I guess you travel to schools or travel to places, where you're able to reach a lot of the youth, because a lot of them, they don't hear your message or don't hear that, you know, that it's not glamorous. They still, or somehow feel that, well, that's you. They still idolize that lifestyle and things like, you know, and they're just not hearing you. And, I mean, what do you say to those young guys, the young ladies also?
Well, you know, the only thing that I can tell is my history and what I've done, what I've suffered with. I can't glorify a crippling. I can't glorify a game banging. All I can do is give the glory to God that He brought me out of it. You know, and I have no reason to lie about anything, because the majority of people that know Barefoot Pookie know who I am. You know, they know who I am, and they know that I was there in the beginning. You know,
right.
So you know. And for them to do that, what he need to be doing and what these people need to be doing is putting the word out like our forefathers did, to bring our race and bring this race and get with humanity and bring this race up, because we're doomed. We're doomed if
right.
we don't do that. We all need to pitch in, you know, and give some positive direction to our youth. So we have to go on like this here. Now he's coming, I'm 54 years old, he's 40, that's two or three generations, you know, after the thing has started. I mean, he don't even remember the civil rights movement, what our forefathers died for, and what they stood for, you know. So, you know, I'm not trying to glorify the game. I'm not trying to glorify what I did, what I was involved in. You know, all
right.
I'm saying is that I've survived, and I'm giving the glory to God, and I want to turn these youth around so they won't have to go through the same thing, you know.
Right.
So they won't have to be sitting up in the penitentiary suffering. You know, they and their homeboys want to write them or send them a letter or do nothing. Most thing they'll probably do is take the girlfriends or whatever, you know, or anything that's not positive. You know, so that's what I'm
right.
saying, you know. So the majority of people knows who I am, that know me, you know,
okay.
that know who I am, you know. But since I've changed my life around, it don't mean that I have turned into a coward, because I give God the glory. You know,
uh-huh.
so you know, it doesn't affect me at all, because you know I've lived through that all my life, you know. But
right.
I still survived, though. I'm still here. So you know, all I want to try to do is try to educate the people about the youngsters and youth about what I've been through and how I survived and how my higher power brought me through, and you have to keep the faith. And just keep the faith and keep the struggle and listen and keep your mouth
uh-huh.
shut and keep your ears open, you know.
Right. You know, and it just reminds me, too, there's a lot of people out here that write books and sing songs, you know, gangster music. A lot of the guys that sang that were not really out in the streets gangbanging. They were in the studio singing. You know,
right.
the people that make the movies and write the books about, you know, gangbanging and different things, a lot of them never even really lived that life. They're just going by stories that they hear. So,
right.
you know, our message is clear, though. And the reason we're here and the reason you're here with us tonight, Pookie, is to put this message out. It doesn't matter what gang you're from, what street you live on, whether,
mm-hmm.
you know, you represent blue or red or black or yellow or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
all needs to stop. The gang violence,
right.
the drugs,
it
the abuse, the violence,
everything.
The robbery,
yeah.
it all needs to stop. There needs to be respect
yes.
for each other. And
yes.
and that's
it's
the message.
It's self-hate.
Right.
Because
it's self-hate.
Go ahead. The yeah, thing
I just want to apologize, too, for that outburst of the fact.
That's all right. I've been dealing with that all my life. I've been dealing with that all my life. But
right.
the main thing is that, you know, he's too old to touch. You know, what he needs to be trying to touch.
He didn't get the message.
No,
right.
he didn't
get the
he
message.
Did not get the message.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still, at 38, you still talking about representing the street. Come on, man. You
right.
damn sure should be past that. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
didn't want to get into that. I wanted him to get whatever he had off his chest. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Because,
right.
you know, our show is uncensored. So, okay, Pook going to let you go ahead and get that off your chest, bro. Because
mm-hmm.
you ain't.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And
yeah, exactly.
We want you to get your
yeah.
anger out if that's
mm-hmm.
what it takes for you to understand the streets don't love you back. That man 54 years old, man. He ain't thinking
right.
about no... standing on no damn street corner and worried about no gang banging, man. You feel me? You know, you ain't worried
right.
about a block.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Down
and
that shit,
bro. Right.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, I mean, this real life we talking about. You feel
right.
me? Ain't nobody
mm-hmm.
on the street don't love you like radio show talking about standing on no damn corners, and ain't
mm-hmm.
nobody talking about gang banging on no corner. We telling you, bro, that shit is dead. It is over with. That's the oldest failure in American history. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hoop wasn't sitting up there talking about he representing no damn blocks, bruh. He telling you how the shit was back in the day. You know what I mean? And if you're even enough at 38 years old to be thinking you that type of shit then, well, you need to go to the jailhouse and tell them to give you the motherfucking key to go to penitentiary or put some dirt up and bury your ass, because that's where you're going to be at. You know?
That's right. That's right.
That type of shit I don't tolerate on my show. You feel me? I'm saying, Pooh, but I let whoever that was get they funky off, you know?
That
shit won't ever be tolerated again on this show. You know what I mean?
Right on.
Your ass will be muted out, because this is not no organist show. This is a discussion show to help people, whether you're you or whether you're an adult. So we all need some kind of help. But that shit won't be tolerated no more, period.
Right
Absolutely.
On.
Definitely. Okay, we have our switchboard lit up. So let me, Yolanda, I'm going to put you back on hold for a little bit, and we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to go to the phone number. The last four digits is 5721. 5721. Caller, you're on the air.
How you doing? It's Arthur Terry Roten. I was calling in. I really kind of lost that words right now because I'm a young, you know, Crip member out of South Central L.A., off the east side. I'm from Fautrey, Pookie. And just to hear, like, the brass argument, see, I'm kind of like, I just did 10 years. From 14 to 24, I was gone. So I just did 10 and a half years, man, and now I'm out writing books, and I got a name for my little self, for myself, and I'm kind of like, you know, and I go talk to the youth and doing my thing.
Bless you.
But just overhearing the conversation you and the guy, I guess, from 60s had, you got to understand, right? And me personally, I'm looking at it from really both you guys, you like a godfather. He'll be like a pops in the streets to me. I'm only 26, like I say. So I'm looking at it from outside looking in, but from a younger generation. And lucky, I can't say lucky, and this might sound crazy. Prison is the best thing that ever happened to me because at a young age, I went to prison. And I learned not only the roots of the things I was claiming and representing, also got a chance, you know, to enlighten myself on and educate myself on a lot of different eras and fields. So, like you said you was from the 100 to the 20s. A lot of Crips. I mean, even when I went to jail, I used to be like, nigga, we niggas ain't pushing, especially the rolling cart, the 100, the West Side Crips ain't pushing no 20s. Them the Bloods. But a lot of Crips don't know that. The Godfathers, the Harlem Godfathers, used to be
that's
in the
right.
20s.
That's what they used to push.
So you got to understand when you're talking to a young Crip, either no matter how old he is, if he's still in that mind frame,
and he really don't
know what he representing, you got to know how to approach that guy. Sometimes it's better. Some things is better left unsaid. So when you and this coming from a young, like I said, young Crip. So when I heard you indulge in the conversation of trying to go back and forth with him, that made me lose my thoughts because I cannot go back and forth with a guy in that type of mind frame. And I'm not talking bad about the dude because, like I said,
no.
I was just in that mind frame too. And I understand where he's coming from. He don't know no better. He don't know. He thinking, oh, this guy a fraud. This guy's lying. How you going to say he from the 100 to the 20s? The 20 is blood. So if he don't know the history, it's only right that you sense his anger. He's sensing, okay, this guy represents something. He's saying he's something to America that he ain't, and I'm out here repping. We don't rep the 20s. The 20s is blood. Them are enemies.
Right.
But he know not what he do.
Meaning if he don't
understand that the Harlem Godfathers really, that the 20s was their stomping grounds.
Right.
And nowadays, the 20s is blood. And a lot of things like, me personally, like, I didn't got into it with a lot of older cats when I was in my prime and I was in the streets and I was gangbanging, even my time in prison. But, see, I got a chance to get up under dudes where they was almost your age, you know, from Hoover Line, Hoover Joe. A lot of dudes that I could name that was reputable that I just so happened to be only 26 and I had the chance to bump into him in prison, been on these level 4 yards and me doing 10 and a half. And I hit prison at age 14, to has to be 4B. So So I hit the juvenile yard at that age. So I got a chance to really mingle and mix with these dudes because I hit Pelican Bay Shoe on my 18th birthday. So a lot of these dudes, I got a chance to get all this knowledge that a lot of dudes my age and probably a decade older than me probably don't understand. So when you're talking to these dudes, you got to understand their mindset is different from when you guys was in the 70s and Crippin' just began.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're right, bro. God bless you. You're right. You're right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, and there's a 100 stories out there, too, about how you became, you know, Krebs to Crips and the cane. I mean, there's like tons of stories out there. So, you know, you can believe any one of them, I guess, or you can believe the people that were actually there.
Right.
And that's what a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying? A lot of guys, I mean, me personally, like, just so happened I'm blessed to, you know, have a book out and I'm blessed to get to go talk to kids now and I'm blessed to have an understanding of the real roots and how a lot of things started. Like you said, it's millions of stories. I mean, I didn't run to guys who proclaimed to be there. I didn't run to guys. I didn't read. I didn't study. It's millions of stories.
And
coming from, like I said, a younger perspective of me going to talk to certain dudes, these even now, I only been out 18 months. And a lot of my time, like I said, I got locked up at 14. So a lot to these guys, I'm just like their bigger brother. I was just in the halls a couple of years back. So when I'm going to the hall to the juvenile detention, I'm talking to these kids. They don't understand the history I'm giving, so I got to talk in their lingo, meaning like, this what it is, this what it was before us. And a lot of kids don't know that. Just like if you tell a kid nowadays, I'm a West Side Crip, they're going to say, which West Side Crip are you? And you can't say, I'm just a West Side Crip.
Right.
They don't understand that when it started, it wasn't no sections like it is now. When Crippin' came about, a lot of it was like family orientated. It didn't become how it is now until really when the drugs came into money became into the community and greed arose. So that's how a lot of it became. And this coming, like I say, this coming from a young guy. I'm 26. You know what I'm saying? And I understand your concept of what you're getting at. Only thing I could just say to you, and I'm saying this humble because I understand your position and I respect the G's. But on the same token, you have to realize the kind of characters you're dealing with when you're dealing with them in a certain environment or situation. Because a lot of older guys tell me, how you going to be preaching? Who is you to even say what you said? What give you the credentials to say what you said? And I'm only 26, so I fall back like, okay, you right. What give me the credential? But I had a knowledge, and I lived that street life. Mm-hmm. I was sentenced to no return, but still was brought back, to make a long story short. So on the same token, it's just like how an older guy could tell me, which give me the credentials to say what I'm saying and to do what I'm doing. What a younger guy could say to you, what give you that credential to say what you're saying, and who are you? You're not a Crip. So it's all about us to either explain. It's all about me to either explain to this older guy, look, this is my history, or you to explain this guy, this is my history. If you can't come to a terms, you got to leave it alone, man. That's all I can tell you. Like,
And the name of your book is what? I can get a copy of that.
Yeah, my book is Natural Born Killers, man. It's published through Black Dawn Books. That's Quan's publishing company, man. I'm like all over the city right now with it, and you know, Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can find me, man. I'm just out here trying to go do my thing in the book game, man, and change it and stay out here. I just started my own publishing company called No Breaks Publishing, too, man. I'm picking up Buzz and Crips, from our way, man, trying to let them know red and blue make green, man. Divided we fall.
Is there any way that you can contact me through Facebook or through my email and we can get together? Any way we can do that?
I could probably get at, I know a couple of people that got at me about this show tonight.
I can email you all the information, Terry.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I can email you all the information. And Terry, I just, I listened to your show with Lisa that you had, and I just want to let you know that I'm really proud of you. And And, you know, to be in prison at such a young age anyways is detrimental. But to be able to, you know, walk out those gates and to come out and turn your life around and do what you're doing, you know, I give you a lot of respect, and I'm, you know, really, really proud of you. And I want you to keep it up, keep doing the good work. And the words that I heard you say last night on your show, that you know, you're trying to take reading out to the streets and to the kids and teach them how to read and teach them how to enjoy to read and to learn. And I think that's an awesome goal that you have for you and your new publishing company, and I wish you the best of luck with it. And you know, we're here to back you up and to help you in any way we can as well.
Thank you. That's my mission right now. My mission of my book publishing company is called No Breaks Publishing, and it came from nowadays, and just back into the gang culture nowadays, and I never said this out to, like, in the media public, I'm put out there nowadays, a lot of, like, gangsters, like I said, I was from Full Trey, a lot of gangsters, and you got, like I say, sex and the Crips. In a Crip organization now, where you got the neighborhood, you have the gangsters, you have just the Crip gang, you had the blocks, you got different sects. So like I say, me being from Full Trey on the east side, we say gangsters moving. And while I was in the pen, one of the older guys used to always tell me, you moving with no brakes, you're gonna run into a brick wall, youngster, slow down. You got life, you got a lot of time on your hand right now, but you might got a chance to get out. And I never forgot that. And so now when I got a lot of people that saying gangsters moving, they saying moving with no breaks. So I took some negative and turned to some positive. My negative, no breaks. Remember that, no breaks publishing. I took it some negative, and the motto of my publishing company is called All Gas, No Breaks Book Movement. We on the West Coast, we trying to bring book reading fun to these kids, giving them something they can relate to. And that's my whole thing. Like I say, like is I'm trying to bring it to society and let them see my books and let these kids know it's reading is fun, and it's not just fun, it's knowledgeable.
It's best just to learn. Yeah, so I'm really proud of you, man. I'm really very proud of you. I like to ask you a question. Did you get a chance to meet Black Johnny?
Yeah, Black Johnny.
Johnny.
That's you talking about my big homie, Black Johnny?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Black Johnny raised me, like him and my dad together. When he got locked up, I was like one.
I know Black Johnny. 74, 76. Well, he originally got locked up in 72, I believe. 72, 73. And during that time, there was the Palladium murder, and also there was the West Side and Inglewood Crip murder. That was one of the first three murders that happened, except for Eddie Haythorne of the East Side and Kenny Carter, who was Bucky Carter's little brother.
See, a lot of, and the cold thing about it, like, I really, 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 right, I really wish, and this just comes from the heart, I really wish that didn't take place. Like I said, I'm not knocking the bro. I probably know him. I probably don't. I probably didn't chopped him up on Facebook. I don't know how he got y'all hooked up or whatever, but I'm not knocking him. But I really wish that didn't take place where you endorsed in it, because I'd had a lot of my younger dudes that I messed with call in, and I don't know if they listened or if they did call. And like I say, I was going to sit back and just listen. I wasn't going to press one because I just wanted to sit back and chill. But I really wish you didn't endorse unless that young, I'm going to say Brett, the young dude, bent, because, like I tell you once again, it's just like me. I've been gone so long. A lot of these dudes my age, if they wasn't out there if they wasn't 11, 12 when I was out there doing what I'm doing, a lot of these dudes, they didn't start gangbanging until like 16, 17. So now that I'm home, it'd be like, damn, nigga, you been gone that long. Who is you? And it'd be like, hold on, so, until they really do their homework and understand, oh, just because I'm writing books or just because I'm doing this, I'm still the same nigga on these streets. I'm gone from the streets, but don't let my outer
smart. Don't get it twisted. That's right.
That's the whole thing. So you gotta understand, sometimes you got, like they say, old saying, man, and it's just from a younger cat to an older dude. And like I say, me being in prison, I used to bump in heads with a lot of older dudes, but now I understand they position and where they stand.
From a younger
cat to a G, sometimes the saying, you got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to hold them. You got to know.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
And sometimes, see, and I'm just telling you this from my position. I'm listening like, damn, is he really about to go back and forth with this dude on air? And I'm thinking to myself, please don't do it. Or somebody cut. And I'm telling Lisa, said, Lisa, tell him the type call, put me in now, because I was going to chill. But it's like people watch. And I learned this. My publisher used to always tell me this when I first came on. I was still wilding. Like I said, I was 24, and I was happy to be gone. I've been gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I had to have a pill on my case. I had to get acquitted and all kind of stuff. Like, I was happy. I was back wilding. And my publisher had to tell me, you got to understand, everybody watching you.
Mm-hmm.
What
That's
you
right.
do, reflect. If you make one opposite move of what you're saying, the critics will try to eat you up. So what I'm getting at, that could have been a young dude just to try to test your integrity.
That's right.
Is he really a Christian, or is he going to let me get him out of his character? So all I'm saying, like I say, from a young dude, like
Thank
I said,
you,
a lot of people don't know understand your history. And even in my books, I don't talk about the history of the Crips and Bloods. I don't talk about none of that. I just talk about I try to touch into the younger crowd. I try to get into these teens, like let them know everything glitter ain't gold. You see these guys out here gangbang living life, all these fancy girls, fancy cars, nice chain, and everything, and the gold chain. But everything glitter ain't gold. You don't know how they got to where they at, what they did.
True.
So that's like more of my story. Like all my stories touching like the 90 eras. I don't have the 2000 eras. I don't have nothing like dating back from then, so it's kind of hard to explain, like, really, like, what I can't say what I touch on, because I touch on the gang. I mean, I just touch on life in general. So, you know, like I say, man, I'm glad, you know, to be talking to you, and it's an honor, man. A lot of people don't understand your legacy, and a lot of people ain't going to understand, because there's a million different stories out there. So no telling what been fed in certain communities and certain people's heads.
Right.
Because if you ask around certain people, I was talking to a young dude earlier, I was telling him like, man, just call in, you know, Poogie gonna be online, man. You probably wanna get some good knowledge. Oh man, that nigga from Gardena. He ain't from South Central. And I'm gonna tell you why a lot of people probably think that. You remember the show you was just on from
that's why. That changed a lot. But see, what I explained to them is that in 1972, you know, I took over Raymond's legacy with the Crip Multiplication and Kerf off. They went from Long Beach. See, Paybacks, they started in the Hunnets, and they went to Gardena, and they went to Long Beach as well. And it was originally called Insane Paybacks, and they went all the way to Long Beach.
And I heard about that.
You know, where everything was seen. But that's just, I mean, at first, the West Side, we turned off into UGs and blocks. Then we went to Godfathers, then we went to Harlem Godfathers, then we went to Insane Paybacks, then Paybacks, and what have you. But that's the point I was trying to get to. I guess he didn't understand that, you know. I've been in South Central so long, and like I said, my mother used to move sometimes six times in a year. We moved all the way from the hundreds all the way to the 20s. You know, that's why I was able to go back during the Crip Multiplication Kerf off and start the Pico Harlem Godfather Crips. You know, so I guess he didn't understand that, you know. But the first gang that I was in was the 60 Avenues. You know, and I can mention all the names of the gang members and the leaders and the founders and all that. He wouldn't even know them, you know. So, you know.
But, like, yeah, I don't want to be online like that, man. I know it's probably 1,000 other callers. I just want to, man.
We
like,
do have our switchboards lit up, and
thank you so much for calling in,
Terry.
All right.
Yeah, I'll definitely email you all the info.
All right. Let's stay in touch, Terry, man, and God bless you as well.
All right, likewise, man. I'll hit you up, and I'll get your email.
Yeah, you can get my number and everything,
my
brother.
I'll be good.
Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. The last four digits are 4657. You've been waiting patiently.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's first, I want to say God bless the brothers for being on the show.
Thank you.
I'm getting a lot from the conversation. My name is Arthur Al Tariq Gaston. Yo, y'all brothers went real deep tonight, man, and I'm from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, I was incarcerated for 17 years. I just came home. I've been home for about 7 months.
Bless you.
36. Yeah.
My man.
And what I was noticing while I was incarcerated, how the movement of the Bloods and Crips migrated over to the East Coast.
Yes, right.
And then, you know, I was looking at guys, and you know, I'm like, man, you know, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I'm like, man, you know, we wasn't into that. You know, that was the West Coast thing. Not knocking that. I never understand that lifestyle because I didn't know it. A lot of people are drawn into it, like real heavy, especially like the younger generation. Like,
right.
I just went to a club the other night, and I had on a red shirt, a red hat, some black jeans, and some red and black Jordans. So I go to the door, dude was like, yo, you can't come in here with red on. I'm like, man, I'm almost 40 years old. I'm not in no gang. You know? He was like, nah, that's just the dress code. So I had to come change clothes, and it struck me how deep that it hit. Mm-hmm. And then I stay in a small town called Wilson, North Carolina, and it's real small. And I'm like, so then I noticed, like, when Waka come on, and, you know, Waka Flocka, he's a good rapper, but, you know, Lil Wayne and them, and it's a whole lot of guys glorifying that life. And I did a public speaking event in Baltimore, and one of the things I told the kids, Rick Ross, he was hot at the time, I think, on Big Meats and out of Hoover.
What?
I told him I didn't want to be those guys because those guys locked up with a lot of time. You understand what I'm saying? And like the brother was saying earlier, early on in my bit, I was like, yeah, I'm from Athens. I'm from Southside, I'm from Athens. So old head pulled me to the side. He was like, man, you run around, you love your street, don't you? I'm like, damn right. He said, how many letters you get from your street? How many money orders you get from your street? How many visits you get from your street?
Mm-hmm,
he was like,
mm-hmm.
man, that street corner was there before you was born, and it's going to be there long after you die. And you running around rapping the street.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think about it and how deep that was. You know, the show was called The Streets Don't Love You Back. And I was trying to get that a point across because I went through the incarceration. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When my homeboys, they was out there, they was playing with keys. And some of they was getting key money. One of my homeboys got 12, he was asking me to push over 100 keys. So I'm like, yeah, bro, you wouldn't even send me $30. I didn't ask you for no big money. I was like, yo, man, $30, so I can give me a pair of sneakers. Put $30, put this $30 I got. Match me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they was running off with, like you said, they run off with your girlfriends. The girls don't come see you. But at the end of the day, the people that you hurt the most are the ones that you love the most, or professionally love the most. Your family. You know, not your street family. Because they're going to find somebody else to fill your shoes. There's somebody else that wants in your position to get that money. There's somebody else that wants that hood glorification that you got. I'm talking about your mother, your daughter, your sons, your father. You know, I lost my father while I was incarcerated. Couldn't even go to the funeral. So, you know, like the brother, Terry Wooten, I was incarcerated at a young age, but I was wild and just like he was. Now, you go back to my old neighborhood, I'm a legend there. I'm a legend in the neighborhood. But you take me outside of the neighborhood, don't nobody know me. I'm in the same hand. Really don't nobody know me and know what I'm capable of. And like he said, everybody's watching. But my movement is on the same path that you all are taking. And I applaud that because a lot of times when we're in this struggle and we're trying to change lives and turn things around, ain't nobody with us. We by ourselves. You know, I was on, I co-host a Blog Talk radio show with Lisa, Word on the Street. And she had listeners all the way from the UK. I didn't know that. So I made a post. I promised the lady, I forget her name. I made a post, though. She was talking about human trafficking. And nobody commented on the post. It's like nobody wanted to hear nothing positive. But if I say, look, I had a bad day, I feel like I'm ready to snap and blow up the world, everybody and woman got a chance.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly.
Like you said, it's time now that we start protecting that positive energy out there because daily we are losing the fight. not just in the neighborhoods, but I'm going to take it on a higher scale, over all America. If you look at the position of the American government and America standing in the world, it's slowly slipping away. You talked about the educational system. The educational system in the United States is outdated. That's why they're not advanced. Everybody in the world is advancing further than American students when it comes to science and math.
Coming to the end.
I got to agree with that little brother, too, you know.
They definitely
do, because I just seen on TV today, they done cut a whole bunch of teachers from schools around the country. Now, if that ain't messing up society, you tell me, when they stop teaching education, talking about cutting a budget, but you're going to cut education and you're going to cut programs for our kids to learn. But you go back behind the wall and you still taking everything away, but you ain't cutting no jailhouses. You feel me?
No,
You're gonna cut back on people medical and you're gonna cut back on education. But I ain't seen you one time say, let's cut back death row. You know what I mean? When a man or a woman is on death row for 20 years, if a person is really, really guilty through DNA, because it ain't about just killing no innocent person, but if a person is guilty through DNA and we know for a fact this person is guilty, why has you got this man or woman suffering for 20 years before you go ahead and do what you got to do, you know?
Right.
If you're going to cut back on some things, let's cut back on some things where a person don't have to sit in no cell and suffer no 20 years, you know what I mean? And the ones that's not guilty, let them come on home. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line on that tip, too. Don't keep cutting education, because that is very what I needed across America.
It's not a priority. When they took prayer out of the schools, I mean, that killed the high power right there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that let me know right there that you know, we were going in the direction that we are now, you know. You take prayer out of school now. Now, I mean, who gives man the right to do that? I mean, that's saying that you don't, this world was founded, this country was founded on in God and we trust, but you're taking prayer out of the schools. I don't understand that.
Right.
You know,
taking not only prayer, you take education out of school. When you take 10 or 15 teachers out of each school across America, not just in one city, that means you're taking education out of school all over the world. And our kids, like the brother just spoke, is not getting the whole full education. You know what I mean? They're getting education, but it's far few and in between now. You know what I mean? It's not a solid education. You'll push a person through school and they don't even know how to read. But you done graduated this person. They don't even know how to read. So it's a push thing through some of these education schools out here, because we're short of our teachers now and we get more short of them. And you just get in this frame of mind of not caring, you know what I mean, with the government that we have out here now, you know what I mean, that's just destroying their own people, but you can fly up over in Libya and worry about what he's doing to his people. You know what I mean?
You need
to sit back and worry about what you're doing to your own people over here in the government, you know, and that is the bottom line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are suffering, but when some jump off somewhere else, oh my God! They're sending this, they're sending that, and the next thing you know, we got our helicopters and armies flying somewhere else, and they already done spread it thin in Iraq, Iran, and all these different places. So let's start bringing some of our soldiers home. You know what I mean? Cause we can't keep worried about what some other country is doing. If they're not over here bothering us, we definitely shouldn't be over there flying and not innocent young kids getting killed. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Budget too.
Right.
Without a doubt, you know, the government was on the verge of shutting down.
Right.
You know,
can you believe that?
I mean, you know, with that, just looking at that, how is the U.S. government on the verge of shutting down?
Shutting down.
If it was to shut down, and
then who
you think would be highly affected by that? We are already, the poor people are already unemployed and undertaken.
We keep calling ourselves the greatest country in the world, but you're finna shut down and mess up your own people in America. That you sending planes to shoot somebody else because he doing something to his own country. That is that man country. Suppose somebody came over here and started bombing you because you're messing over the American people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it just sounds like though they're just ready to quit.
Okay,
hey, I brought Lisa on. So Lisa's online with us as well.
Al Tariq. Where's Al Tariq at? Where's my baby
right
at? What's good, co-host?
What's good? What's good?
Pookie. Let me tell this man about me.
Okay.
Because I've been sitting here listening to Al Tariq. You don't know, do we? Pookie, I am a blood from Newark in the ATL. Al Tariq is my co-host. I get on every show that Rod and Lucinda do. I get on it because the streets don't love you back. But let me tell you something about me. I'm a white girl. From Newark. A blood.
I've been there.
No. You don't understand.
No, I understand. Are you from New Jersey, right? From Newark, right?
Yeah.
It
gets better than that, sweetie. It gets better than that. Because I also my brother's is Silverbacks. Okay. And then I got the other side of the street that's Crips. I'm the only bitch they know that can run Trip Set. Okay. Now we had Terry on tonight. And Terry was on my show last night. Okay, he was definitely on my show last night. That was the longest show I ever had, 2.5 hours. Terry wrote. Yeah, exactly. I do shows with authors. First of all, know me. I promote 1,900 overnight. Well, damn. Over 1,900 urban authors. Okay? And 30 rappers in the A. Because I went from Newark to the A. So, Waka Flocka, all them, they live around the corner from me. Bambito from Illinois, all them. All them know who I am. So, when you was hearing my name, when you was hearing Lisa, they was talking about me. Because what I do out the love and the passion from my heart. But let me tell you something about the hood. Because, you know, you touch on a lot of subjects. One of the things I want to say is I'm so tired of these little kids getting trigger happy. They getting trigger happy. They be in Newark, like, I swear, every day I get calls. And, Pookie, I just want you to listen to me. I get calls every day from Newark. 4-year-olds getting killed, sitting on the grandmother's porch, drive-bys, this, that, and the third. It's not us older ones. Because I'm a 3-star under David Allen and Khalil Tut. Okay? So you already know I'm blood. So, but these kids, they get out there in Newark, they get trigger happy. They picking a gun up at 12 and 14, and they get trigger happy. Lucinda, you already know.
They're carrying guns way younger than that.
Younger, 9, 8, whatever. They are products of their environment. This is what the problem is. The kids are a product of their environment. The kids be in the streets. The parents are in the streets grabbing the crack, doing this, doing that, doing the third. When we grew up back in the day, because we all of age, I'm about to be 45. So back in the day, it was weed and speed. That was it. Now, you've got so much shit out there in the streets, and we've got to handle it. We have to handle it. And then the black-on-black crime is ridiculous. Like, why would you kill your own homeboy? What the hell you mean you killed the whole way? Hold up. Nah. Hell no. No. And then let me finish. You talked about something that I have to say. Al Tariq and me got this, because you only going to end up in one or two places, in the jail mm-hmm. or under it. Get the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of it. And then, you know, we just be, we be wilding, you know, like, oh, my God, I go crazy because I want to know where the fuck does this country get to pay more for incarceration than education. Somebody tell me something on that. Because when that Black Agenda was on MSNBC Sunday, and everybody was like, you in the house on a Sunday? Yeah, I'm watching something. I posted up on my page. Where the hell does United States get off paying all this money for incarceration? And they said, no lie, 600,000 African Americans. Okay, African Americans are locked up. Was locked up in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That was more than that was in slavery in 1790.
Mm-hmm.
So bring it to me, because I'm a white girl and I'm ripping everybody, because I got my hood brothers. My hood mean the heart to me. You can go to New Community, Southward, Eastward, like North Central, anything in Newark. I have a crib in Inglewood. You didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You got those everywhere, girl.
What happened?
Yeah.
Said you got those everywhere.
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
when I touched down,
again.
Pookie, when I touched down, trust and believe, they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when they come to Atlanta, they'll come to Lisa's crib. I'd be like, y'all better go to Wendy's. I ain't cooking tonight. You ain't coming to Lisa's. But no, I cook. Like, I'm talking about, like, world-renowned authors that I have under, like, not under me, that I promote. But Jay and Benjamin, call them every day. Wahida Clark, call her. Like, I'm trying to tell you something. Al Tariq knows me. They all know me. That's why Terry Roten, he knows Quan in my hood. Like, they all know me. And I'm just this little 5'1" white girl doing what I can for all y'all. But at the end of the day, it's still the same shit. We in the hood. It don't matter where we are. It doesn't matter. Because I got to ATL. Pookie, I got to ATL, right? Now I'm living basically in Urbia. And they were like, you was in the hood. What the fuck kind of hood is this? Like, this is not the hood. Let me take you one day to Newark. Let me take you one day to Inglewood, Compton. Let me take you one day to Philly, Trenton, Camden. Find out what the fuck the hood is. They got, they call the projects out here. I went over to the projects. So I'm looking at them like, these are townhouses that up north would I'm just looking at them like, this is townhouses. They calling them, this is the projects. I'm like, motherfuckers, you don't know the projects. There's no graffiti. There's no type of like, they don't get it down here. I'm like, I don't hear gunshots every night. Okay,
no.
I'm not stepping over dead bodies. I'm not coming out my building stepping over dead bodies. I'm not going to the bodega and seeing motherfuckers nodding and leaning and spitting and drooling or hustling. Like, I'm not going to the Wendy's down here and having a crackhead say, can I wash your windows for a dollar? Your windshield for a dollar. Yes.
Hey, Lisa, hang on for just a second. I'm going to keep you on, but I have somebody else that called in, and he's another OG from Arkansas, and I'm going to bring him on now. Mr. LaFell Jackson.
Hey, here he comes.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Welcome.
How y'all doing?
Hey, baby.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing, Pookie? You doing good, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. Got to keep it together.
All right. Yeah, I bet this has been a great show all night, and, of course, it's been very interesting, and I tell you, I, you know, listen to the young Loke, come on there. He's just only, you know, go back to what we were talking about before.
Right.
Even when you take a young man to church, and nowadays you tell him, you know, if you believe in God, everything is going to be just great.
Mm-hmm.
Then this man got to go back home, and yeah, everything
yeah.
that he can touch has hurt
mm-hmm.
him. And you
mm-hmm.
want him to believe
yeah.
in something that he can't see. You got me? So I feel cuz too from the 60s, and it is great to hear from the cuz from Fortrey, one of his big homies, love him totally down there locked up in Cali, and for you, man, I love you. I know your history is deep, and I just think that at the end of the day, we just have to put the message out there, and where
mm-hmm.
they might not pick it up right now, but
mm-hmm.
later, you know, some of them will get a chance to think about it, and they'll do it. You know, and I go all across the country talking to young men and women. Some of them, you know, like she was talking about Newark. I got a homeboy
mm-hmm.
doing a joint up there called Brick City right now
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
Forrest Whitaker and Blowback Production. And I'm going to tell
you,
they're off the chain up there. So, you know,
yeah.
every
yeah.
state has become a little
mm-hmm.
L.A. So
mm-hmm.
sit here
yeah.
and listen to what you said tonight, man. It kind of took me back and took me down through, you know, we didn't just tear up a city. We tore up a state. We tore Arkansas
yeah.
up, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like you say, I'm not glamorizing it at all
mm-hmm.
because I know at the end of the day, I killed so many of the people that I'm supposed to love.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
You know, I love
mm-hmm.
them now. I'm supposed to love my people, right? But
mm-hmm.
I'm selling them more crack than you can spit out.
That's
I'm
right.
Selling.
That's right.
And I didn't
that's
make
right.
my money from just no white people. My money comes from my hood. So how
mm-hmm.
can, you know, even if I spend a little money there, how can I justify killing
mm-hmm.
so many people, you know, in the midst of me, you know, being what I, you know, doing what I do, you know, and I was cripping
mm-hmm.
and the whole world know I cripped. It ain't no secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
come
I guess
on.
What I'm trying to say is, you know, Tukey, Raymond,
mm-hmm.
and all the cousins, and then all of the bloods that I don't even know their name that was back then. Who played a part in starting this? I just wonder if they were here today, would they be on the other end of this radio saying exactly
mm-hmm.
what we're saying? I've seen so many people die, man, that, you know, so when I talk to the young folks, I have to be understanding with them because I have to remember
mm-hmm.
where I come from. There was a time you couldn't
That's
talk
right.
to me. When a person asked me, "What?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you see yourself at in 6 months?" I said, dead or in prison.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest
like
of my life, I didn't have no future.
Mm-hmm.
So man, I
no
just
want
to commend you and don't you know and continue
mm-hmm.
to get the message out. You know
mm-hmm.
that we should definitely, like the brothers say, we need to start reading. We definitely need to stop killing each other. And you
that's
continue
good.
To get the message out. And you're gonna run into some young folks sometime that they're not gonna understand right then. But
mm-hmm.
but he's smart because he's evolved and he's 38. He didn't live that long. He didn't live that long being no fool in South Central.
That's right.
Bank.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll come to him, and you know, one day, you know, in his heart, he might say, you know, I was wrong for even coming at the big homie like that. He might even say, F the big homie. Whatever it is, you know
mm-hmm.
you put your best effort out to show the world, you know, that a lot of things that's going on now is all, it was created, and we're kind of following along, and if we don't stop it, it won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, man.
Come on. That's right. Thanks for that.
We definitely
right.
want to thank you for being on here, Leaf, you know what I mean, and definitely speaking out, man, you know. So that's a big ups, too, you know, and you keep doing what you're doing on your end as well, man, because you're doing a great job. Well, man,
that's
love
right.
you all, and y'all continue, and I'm going to finish listening to the show and pass the mic on to somebody else.
That's right. Man, appreciate you, Leaf. God bless you.
All right.
Lisa, I think Lisa had a comment or question for you, Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say, like, as a white girl, like, I was going to Newark getting the grams of white for the Coke for $28, going back into the white neighborhoods, and them motherfuckers would buy it for $100.
Right.
$100
is a lot. That's a lot of money. I see they're dying for $5 and $10 around here.
Oh, no. In Jersey, you go to Newark, you buy for 28, go up in the White Hood where I was living. This is way back in the day again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would buy
for
100.
Money.
I bought my
money
Green Expedition off of that.
Right.
Right.
Like, Yeah, them white people, they don't play.
Oh, Lisa.
And they will blow up your damn phone, your house, your windows. They don't care. They just want to get their fix.
Hey,
they just want to get your fix.
Okay, sorry, Lisa. Hold on. I'm trying to get everybody in before the last few minutes, but I have another caller that's been waiting anxiously as well. And
go ahead,
I'm just going to keep I'm going to keep all of you on, but I'm going to bring her on. The last four digits are 1491. You're on the air.
Hey, Pookie, it's Soldier Hood Ministries. How you doing?
Hey, Soldier. Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm listening to the show, and God bless you. You know, I want y'all to know that Pookie lives what he talks about. He's the most humble man of God that I have come across. Brother, I love you. I had to come over here and just listen to the show, and I've been listening to the show. And, you know, sisters, we just have to carry ourselves better. You know, I'm listening and I'm saying, I've only heard one sister online. And, you know, this show is about Christ and how Pookie has led me and helped me, led me through the city of, to the City of Truth Ministries. And it's a powerful ministry. And what we have to understand is that some of us created this mess, and it's up to us to straighten this mess out.
Yes. Amen.
A responsibility to our young people. You know, these young people are angry. They're not fools. You know, they see us, how we carry ourselves, how we walk, how we talk, and they're watching us, and they're watching our every move.
Mm-hmm.
That we conduct ourselves accordingly.
That's right, Soldier.
That's right. You know, I'm a soldier. I'm also Mothers of the Community. You know, we started Mothers of the Community so that we can give back to our community. You know, I don't want to glorify my past, but I started gangbanging when I was 11 years old, and things are just different now. Sisters are out here, and we doing more damage than the brothers in some areas.
That's right.
You know, we not being mothers. We not taking care of our families. If us older women would give back to these younger women, take a sister up under your wing. You know, don't let these kids ditch at your house. I see too many older women letting these kids skip school. Ditch at their house. That's not helping these young people. We got to be here to help these young people.
That's right.
We have to be here for them. Yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Yeah.
We want to bring you back on another show sometime with some of the girls that were in the gangs, and we want to hear the girls' stories. And, you know, we know now from looking at a lot of things that a lot of the girl gangbangers were a lot meaner than the boys sometimes. And you know, we need to put your stories out there and let the young women know just as well as we do the men that you need to be a young lady and not out there, you know, gangbanging and slicing up people and doing the things that happen out there.
But all of that comes from inside the home. You know, it comes from inside the home. We as women need to step our game up. We need to step our game up. We have a lot going against us right now. You know, the prison industrial complex is just that. It's a new form of slavery. These prisons are plantation. These young women don't understand that they're getting 50, 150, 75 years of life, and their parents don't have the money to get attorneys.
Right.
At the mercy of the state, and the state is all wrapped up in the game together.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It's up to us. It's up to us elders to give back to our communities. You know, get involved in our schools. Mothers need to start going to PTA meetings. It's just a whole lot going on that we need to make changes. You know, we need to do things differently. We need to stand up and say, okay, look, I messed up this part of my life, and maybe I messed up some of my kids' life, but I'm going to make some changes now. We can make change together because these blog talk radios, Facebook, we connecting people from all over the world. Moving of peace and of change.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it takes.
For me and my house, I'm going to serve Christ. I still bang, but I bang for Christ now. And I'm hard on it. Y'all see my post?
That's awesome.
I do not play because there's no time for play.
No,
right.
So
play. You know, these young people, they looking up to us. And these young people, I work with gang, active women, active gang bangers every day. And you know what they want? They want love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Want some love. They're not getting love in their house. When they walk out the street, everybody judging them, judging them because of the way they wear their clothes, judging them because of their speech, just judging them. We need to embrace these young people
and love them. Yeah.
Yeah. It should cover a lot of self-hate.
Amen, amen. You know, I thank you guys for letting me on because I've been sitting here waiting patiently. I haven't talked to my brother in a while, and it was really important for me to make this phone call and to talk to you guys because, you know, stuff got to change. These young people, I heard the sister saying they're killing each other. Man, we got 9-year-old, 11-year-old, my homegirl's son. I got homegirls crying to me every day. They babies. My homegirl's kids is gangbanging. So now they babies is being killed, and this stuff hurts.
Sometimes.
This stuff hurting. So our nation is hurting. We got inner cities all across America that's in pain. Mothers, our sons. You know, let's concentrate. Let's try to find a way to turn that energy around and form another civil rights movement.
That's
you know,
right.
We got all these little young gangbangers.
The Streets Don't Love You Back movement. We're here. Spread the word. We are
amen.
The next movement.
Amen.
We're the we're up too. That's right.
That's right.
Amen. You know,
all the community groups we have online tonight, can you speak out and tell the viewers your organization and how to contact your organization?
Well,
I'm Champs.
I'm a Hood Ministries, Mothers of the Community, and I'm also Pookie's secretary for Champs.
Right?
I'm going to bring Yolanda back on, and I'm going to bring all the callers I have on the switchboard on for a minute so that everybody can speak up of who they are and what they do and what they represent. Okay, next.
Oh.
Lefell?
Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead and just kind of tell everybody where you're from and what you're doing there in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Lefell Jackson. I run a program called Rockin', which is it started out as an after-school program. Now it's just a holistic program. You know, we go all year round, and we have a place for the kids to go after school and also continue to teach them and show them some of the things that they have to see every day. It's just not normal. You know, when the kids go in the community, they have to see stuff that's totally crazy, and then be kids again. So we just give them a chance to be kids. And I also go around the country helping, helping communities mobilize to fight the ignorance of killing black-on-black crime. So that's one of the things. Those are some of the things I do. And much love to all of you guys, I'm telling you.
Same to you.
Thank you, Lefell.
Have you got a contact, they can give Leaf your contact information or website?
Yeah, if you just go in, if you can go in, the best way to do me is just to go in onto Facebook and then just put my name, Google it, and it'll come up, and you'll get a chance to check me out, and it's a way to contact me there.
Right. You'll send all the information to us, won't you guys?
Yeah, I can get it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yolanda, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say I'm Yolanda Pope. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. I'm an English second language tutor right now, and I'm getting ready to embark on a new adventure. I'm going to be writing restaurant reviews for Houston Style Magazine, which is black-owned, and it's the only minority-owned newspaper that has what they call a national media certification. They have an affiliation with CNN, and this is run by a wonderful person. But also that, growing up in Houston, I wasn't involved in gangs or anything like that, but I did have two cousins that perished in prison. And my thing and my relationship with God is about, wherever I am, God is, and wherever I can help, I can help. And I met LaFell after seeing his show. Well, they had a movie about him, and it touched me so deeply. I mean, I didn't know what to do, and I just asked God to help me, and he spoke to me, and God spoke to me, or angels, and said, you need to find him. And after a year and a half of searching for him, I found him, and I was sending things, and he just opened my eyes to so many things. And, you know, if you ever want to see God, you know, look at another person's eyes and know when they're telling you the truth and they're speaking from their heart, and you can hear God in their voice. And I wish more more people, and I know God knows what God is doing, would just take the time to listen, like a young person who we could all feel his pain and anger. Just take the time to listen, because I know wherever he is, he ought to be tired of watching his people die and all that going on. But all that said, Amen. And to support Robin Lucinda and the Streets Don't Love You Back, since there are so many people on the line that I'm still offering for anyone who wants to get Rob's book free, that if you purchase it and send me an email at yolanda.pope@gmail.com, I'll send you the purchase price of what you paid for his book, whether you buy the hard copy or download a copy. The first, five people that I'm offering, you can get the book free if you just send your receipt, and I'll give you your money back. So to
You're
help,
awesome,
you know,
Yolanda.
Thank you.
Praise God. You know, Yolanda always supports the movement and support the books, and we very much appreciate you being part of our movement and part of the radio show. You and Miss Lisa, y'all don't miss a week, and all our other viewers that don't miss. So we would like to just thank everybody, and for all new callers that's on the line listening, you can join us at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubackmean.com. And you can learn about what we're doing with our movement to help across the country as well, and also join and put your community information up there, what you do as well, because it's all about networking and each one teach one and getting a message out. So just wanted to iterate on that. And you can keep moving, babe.
Okay. I think we still have Terry on the line. And you there, Terry? Maybe not. Lisa?
I'm here, sweetheart.
Go ahead and let them know what you're doing and that you're going to be opening your store there, and everybody can, network with you selling their books and stuff.
Okay. It's word on the street. Damn, why you always got to tell me to tell them about myself? You know I don't know how to do that.
Lisa's out here helping everybody. She's an awesome networker for everybody. She's, standing up for everybody and putting the word out there for everybody. And give yourself some credit, girl. You're a hard worker, and you deserve a lot of respect as well. And Lisa's come from the hood. Lisa's opening her own bookstore. Lisa's a success, and she's doing her thing, and she's helping a lot of other people, come along with her. So, mad respect to you, and tell them about your store. Come on.
Wow, word on the street. It's going to be the Urban Bookstore. I'm open in the flea market till my store opens in Buckhead, and they won't even understand what I do with that when I do it. I've got all my authors that I represent. I've got my co-hosts. I've got how many shows a week that I do, and co-hosts and come on everybody's shows. I'm just
Lisa,
me.
I'll speak for you a little bit since you're acting a little shy, which I know you're not. Lisa's also a survivor of domestic violence, and Lisa has a talk show that deals with domestic violence. And how do you do that? Twice a week? Once a week?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And that's also on Blog Talk Radio. So she's also reaching out in different directions, trying to help women heal.
And then on Saturdays, one Saturday a month, I do an incarceration to incorporation show for all my inmates that will call in from their cells, on their cells. They know how to reach me. They call them the man, when I was locked up, did I have a cell? Hell no. But, yeah, so we do that. And then we do, once a month, we do a Christian spiritual show. And once a month, we do a poetry show. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm just, grinding with these authors. But, yeah. You can find me on Word on the Street or on Facebook.
All right. And who else do we have on the line still? Altaric?
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Altaric everywhere.
Altaric.
Yeah.
You're co-hosting
one of the shows there with Lisa?
Yeah, co-host on the Word on the Street Talk Show, me, her, and Smiley. You can also find me on the author Altery Gasson on Facebook. And you can hit me up on email address www.alterygasson@yahoo.com. I just started really getting into my public speaking to the youth. I need to find me a better outlet because it's hard for me to really, like, set up dates and get in contact with certain people. So I would definitely be getting in contact with the brothers that was on this show and their different organizations and find out how I can get a movement going over here in North Carolina to get the word
my
out.
Man.
Definitely need to be out.
You're in North Carolina?
Oh, man, we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Wilson, North Carolina, but I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I just recently spoke at Virginia State University with a group of ex-convicts. We're getting out. We're trying to get the message out. They run the groups program, but I don't stay there in Richmond, so I can't be a part of that program. I'm trying to get something started in North Carolina. If not, in the group, you know, definitely moving by myself in that direction. I also am an author of an Defended Publications. I will be starting my own publishing company name to be announced real soon. And that's it. I'm all about positive movements. I'm a firm believer that baby steps equal giant strides.
Yeah, well, we're proud of you, too. How long have you been home?
I only been home about seven and a half months.
Okay. Well, hold your head up. Always hang around, you know, the positive, successful people, and you'll stay on the right track, you know.
Worst it can happen.
That's right.
Thank you. Much love to y'all, too. I really appreciate it. So, actually, I was asleep. I got to go to work tomorrow morning. I was sleeping. And, you know, I had a dream, and I woke up. As soon as I woke up, I texted Lisa. I was like, yo, y'all still do that show? The Streets Don't Love You Back. And she was like, yeah, we on air, man. I was like, text me the number so I can call.
Awesome.
He sure did listen.
Awesome.
He sure did. And
we have
Al Tariq.
Yeah.
Don't go to sleep before you call me because I got to ask you about something important.
Okay, well, we have a couple of more callers on. I know a couple of you were just listening, but if you want to say your name or anything that you that you're doing, just go ahead and holler out real quick.
Well, I like to say that my bio is coming out. It's called Crip Chronicle, Crip to Christ, and you can catch me at barefootpookie@yahoo.com and also the Facebook as well. And I'm traveling, going here abroad, and you know, with the Spirit of Christ in me, and trying to turn this thing around, and trying to touch these youth because you know, some of these actually try to touch the youth and try to touch the older folks too, so they can be on the same movement that I'm on. I've been abroad, but the most affected place that I've been to was Newark and Kansas City with the movement. In 2005, I picked up Tookie's his legacy about the peace protocol, and I took that abroad as well. So, you know, it's not about
I say that's a beautiful thing.
Right, so it's just not about me, you know, and like I say, you know, I don't glorify what my life has done. I give all the glory to God for keeping me here, you know. So I'm still here. I've been shot, stabbed, did a lot of prison time and a lot of jail time, and I did a lot of things wrong in my life. God should have been taking me away from here, but, you know, I just want to get back, and so it'll go down to generations like our forefathers have done, you know, for us, you know, the whole time.
My man. That's
right.
What it is, man. So any last shout-outs you would like to give, Pope, to anybody?
Just amen.
Well,
love you, and we thank God for you, Pookie.
Right on.
I
love you too, sis. I love you too. And I thank God for everybody that, you know, all my enemies, all my loved ones, and all my family members. You know, God bless all of you.
Right. And Pookie, what advice could you give some of the youth that maybe want to get out of a gang and don't know how to do it, and how can they turn their life around?
Well, you know, I was taught this a long time ago. You know, when you realize that it's better to make friends than enemies, you know, you'll see a whole new change in your life. You know, when you look at the statistics of us killing each other, when you look at this being the point of this being a conspiracy of a genocide, when you look at us being you know, like crabs in a barrel, can't get out of the poverty level, you know, and you think about your future, you think about your kids, you know, you think about your life, and you think about that you are somebody. Go back to history. You know, they said if you want anything to be hidden, you know, you put it in a book, and you know, the black man won't even. The black race won't even they will find it. You know, you put it in a book. So I'm down with the brother. You know, that just promoting reading for the children. You know, so we're gonna make this happen. You know, we're gonna bring back the work that our forefathers have done, and you know, we're gonna make this happen.
No mystery, right. You know, and we're glad to be a part of you know, working with your movement as well, Pookie, and we definitely is pushing for the same thing, and that's enlightening our youngsters and our oldest as well to understand at the end of the day, it's about education, it's about loving yourself, and it's about loving others and respecting self and others, you know, and keeping God first, you know.
Yes.
That is the bottom line at the end of the day. So we just want to thank everybody, for coming on the show tonight and listening to Pookie's message. And once again, we just want to give thanks to everyone that's doing the right thing, and those who's lost, we are asking God to touch your mind, heart, and soul, that you come to understanding within self, you know. So that's my shout out right there. And
does
anybody else have any other shout outs? And I'll turn the mic to the mister.
Lisa?
I'm here, babe.
Do you have a last shout out?
Yeah, I got a lot of shout outs, but you already know. It'll take an hour. No, I got a shout out to all my urban authors. All my urban authors that are making it happen, that ain't about BS. They talk in the streets. We got the streets and we taking over. It's 2011. So that's all I got to say. But no, I really got more to say. Al Tariq, call me on the 678. You already know, because we got something to discuss. Lucinda and Rob, this show, like, it don't matter how tired I am or what I'm doing, I will stop everything for this show, because the streets won't love you back.
We appreciate your support.
Like,
definitely.
For real. Like, Pookie, you just keep bringing it on. You bring it on in the L.A. Because when it comes to Terry and all of my authors on the West Coast, and then we got Kendra promoting. Shout out to Kendra. That little girl right there came under me. She came under me, and I didn't even know her. I met her on Facebook, and she just started grabbing the books and doing it and everything. So we got a real deep network.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you have
real,
an awesome network. If we can all get together and start doing things in different cities, you know, bringing people together and
from Newark to ATL. Like, I'm Newark and I'm ATL. Now I got them both. And then I got my sister. I got my sister down in my daughter's in Jacksonville, but I got my sister in Pemberton Pines, I think. I don't know what they call it, but yeah, Florida. Then you got all the people I deal with: Houston, Illinois, Chicago, and then just go all across the states. I got them all, and that's what we need to rep.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Amen, y'all. Love
want
you,
bro.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Have a great night. We want you guys to join us next Wednesday night. We have a lady out of London calling into the show. Her name is Peaches Sherelle Cottigan, and she grew up in the gang type life as well, and went to jail, did some prison time, and so she's going to be on and tell us how she's turned her life around. She's actually doing great things right now, so it'll be interesting to talk to her. And again, thank you, Pookie, so much for coming on and sharing part of your life with us. And
thank you guys.
Continue to do what you do. And we're supposed to be coming out sometime this summer. We've talked with Vicki a little bit about setting up something out there, whether it's a speaking engagement or just a book signing or something to get us back out to the LA area. So, maybe we can all come up with something and have something bigger down there than what we actually planned on. So that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Well, it's definitely let us stay in touch and keep the movement going and keep Facebook alive through this movement.
No mystery.
Definitely. And you guys, please join our movement and put your profile page up. Put your book that you're promoting up. Put your blogs up about what you're doing or anything that you're doing in your community. There's a number you can put up events. And you can forward anything you put on our website to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, to all the other websites. So it's pretty well hooked up. But join us and, be able to keep in touch with us and know what we're doing, and we can try to work together a little bit more to get some bigger rallies and things going.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like the mother of the community said, we have to definitely, put that message out here, and we have to definitely put it in the air for these youths and others can gravitate to it,
That's
about the bottom line.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Vicki. Calling.
Hi, Vicki. I was just talking about
you. Hey, what's up, Ms. Vicki?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
What's good, girlfriend? What's good with you?
Man, ain't too much going on. Just getting out of this meeting, holding this meeting we had up ceasefire committee.
That's right.
Okay,
holding it.
We still got Pook on the line.
She has her phone, I think.
Reggie said that we had our victim service. I mean, we had our victim rights meeting today as well. So, you guys are still on the line out there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, Pook's still on the line.
She has Pookie's phone.
Yes, Skip said, hey, too. Hold on one second.
Okay.
That's down there on the line.
Hello?
Hey, Skip.
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey,
what's
you
going
just
on,
had the end of the show here. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, we on the show right now?
We are. We're live.
Yeah, already. Oh, we live. That's good. Hey, you never would have thought you'd have so many positive people together in a LA area together like this, huh?
Hey, that's right.
We know y'all well connected and respected, Skip. Come on now. Yes, indeed. Y'all got the right one on the line. Y'all got Barefoot Pookie tonight, man. That's a good one right there, man. That brother there is full of knowledge. You know what I mean? And we knew that. We had a little dilemma earlier on the show. You know what I mean? Our brother that didn't understand his own history. You feel me? So it was just a little bit of that. But I think he understands some things. When you're young, you don't understand where old G's come from. You're just looking at old age, but he had to come from somewhere to get old age,
Man, let me tell you, for whoever that was who wasn't knowing, let me just tell you, the man got his name for a reason. He used to walk around with no shoes on him and kick people dead in their face. You was going to do what he said, you was going to get kicked on. He had a history. They was back lifting weights, and they taking care of their bodies, and they was doing it all. And I actually know a senator, Kevin Biggers, ran for senator, and he said, when he was young, they used to hide from Barefoot Pookie. He said, he'd come, and they'd hide in the bushes. So whoever the youngster is, Kevin Biggers played two or three different NFL teams. He come from a big family, and these dudes was, real swole. So, if they were scared, man, then trust and believe, they were something to be scared of.
Oh, that's for
ain't
sure.
No mystery. That's why I was kind of laughing at the youngster, because he didn't know the history.
Hey, Hey,
yeah,
Skip,
I understand.
Why don't you go ahead and give a shout out to about Second Call and what you guys are doing there in Compton, and just so the audience knows, Skip is an OG blood from Compton, or from LA, I should say.
Yeah, LA and all throughout LA, Inglewood, Compton, Pasadena. Well, what we do now at Second Call is we're rebuilding our community, and we're doing it one step at a time, one child at a time, one individual. You know, I've teamed up with Big John Harrell, me and Kenny Smith, and we're getting individuals into careers. You know, because once we tell Tiny Killer that you ain't killing nothing no more and your name is Theodore and we get him back in school, we got to have something to hand him off to. We got to get him into a career so he can live a meaningful, fruitful life and make money and be able to provide not only for himself but for his family. So we're doing the mindset change. We get him into the life skills and get them ready to transition to make them feel like, you know, like they're positive and help them understand what life is about, because a lot of times they just don't know. So that's pretty much what we're doing right now.
That's right. You know, give a website out, Skip, for people to contact you.
It's www2nd. It's secondcall.org, but we use the number because it'd be too long to spell it out. So it's the number 2ndcall.org. Secondcall.org.
My man. And once again, we'd like to give a big shout out to Ms. Vicky and the whole staff. You know what I mean? Big John. You know what I mean, Kev, the whole hookup at Second Call, and we appreciate all of that. You feel me?
We appreciate y'all too, man. The way y'all doing it big, man. The Streets Don't Love You Back, the book, the shirts, everything y'all got going, man, is positive. And let me tell you, all the way from Detroit to Arizona, and y'all got much love out here in L.A. Y'all know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
that we're trying to plan something for this summer. Vicky emailed me the other day, and we were supposed to do it for March or April, and that's already come and gone. So we're thinking of doing something this summer out there. So.
Okay, I tell you what, if y'all do something during the summer, let me tell you what I always do during the summer. Second Call, come join us. Let's do it together. Let's have something for Father's Day, because there's so many fathers out here who say there's no hope, that they feel hopeless, and they eating all the cereal and drinking all the milk while they child at school. So what I do is I ask the children, invite your father out. Let's feed your whole family. Let's give them free hot dogs, hamburgers, but have a job fair, a resource fair, have all the resources available, have mental health here, have screening, the high blood pressure, diabetes screening out here, have the different careers out here. Just bring all the resources together, maybe the Saturday or so before Father's Day, and let's just provide for the community. Let's just give back.
All right. That
sounds awesome.
That sounds great right there, Skip.
Yes, sir.
Sounds
so
like
I tell you what,
great right there.
So listen, you guys have my number. I'm not going to take the phone away from Barefoot, but you know, just go ahead and get at us, and when y'all come out this way, let's make it happen. Let's make it
happen.
Oh, we already going to make it happen. Appreciate you, Skip.
Right. Yes, sir.
Thank
I'm
you.
With y'all. Believe that. All right.
Thank
let
you.
You know,
love
later.
You too. Take care.
All right. Peace. All right, bro.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sir,
that was
that,
awesome
man.
To hear from
Thanks.
Them.
Yeah, hey, guys, you already know it's a classic show, right, Pook?
yeah, for real.
That's right.
You already know it's a classic. You done put Vicky on, you done put Skip on, you know what I mean, and you rolled it out, you know what I mean? So I wish the young fella would have been on the line, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really heard the real, you feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But wherever he at, we wish him much success, and we hope he, you know, get the message, because, you know, that game is dead. And you just got at 38, you definitely should have been doing your history before you shot out left the mouth.
Sure.
That's the bottom line.
Sure.
You know, some people never grow up, and
you
like Pookie said earlier,
yeah, you just don't know who you might be talking to. And all this time, you should never Skip and all of them, and this brother ain't even knowing, you know?
Right. That's
I mean, you're sitting with
this
whole family.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he ain't even understanding it. You feel me? He just jumped into the all the middle thing, like you talking about you out there now. Brother, I'm talking about how I have started this monster, brother. I'm not talking about I'm on no 150th Street right now, man.
Right.
You know, I almost told him, but I lost my son to the joint, bro. My son just come on last year from doing 15.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Sorry.
My only boy, 32 years old. He was 17, you know what I mean, trying to be like me. So I could have got off into a lot of
with that brother, man. But, I mean, we're way past that, brother.
We're way past that. It's all about that.
You got to catch up.
Yeah,
you got to catch up.
Yeah,
that home, boy.
Yeah,
I was out there 10 years old, man. You know what I mean? I'm almost 50 years old now. You feel me? And I got stories for days.
That's right.
Yeah, you have to pull up a chair and a long lunch.
There you go. And that's what I did earlier. You know,
Pook, that lunch ain't gonna even be enough. You feel me? You gotta pull up
enough. They ain't gonna help you none.
That's right. Y'all ain't gonna even hit the suckers, B.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so these youngsters, man, they need to really, really do your history before you speak out, man. You should know a real ex-girls, and he on the line hogging.
That's right. I been going through that all my life, and you know, that was not our purpose. You know, that was not our purpose to create self-hate within ourselves, but it turned out to be that way, you know.
Right.
So why did it turn out to be that way? Because, you know, it's like people ain't trying to listen to the positive, especially an ignorant man or ignorant woman. They just want to hear something and take it the way they want to take it to. But what he didn't understand, you was telling him how this thing got started. I was one of the original ones to help create this monster. You know what I mean?
Right.
Along with my other homeboys, you know what I mean? Took him and them. So he didn't even let you get into the real reality of it. He just jumped right off into
I'm looking
at the phone like it's rather serious, man. You feel
but
me?
You know,
I
was thinking earlier, too, that, you know, everybody says, oh, I'm from, you know, South Central L.A., you know, but there's so many, I mean, hundreds and thousands of gangs from that area. So, I mean, you're saying I'm from South Central or I'm from Compton, but, I mean, there's Blood, there's Crips, there's, you know, MS-13, there's, you know, I mean, there's just, you know, Serenios, whatever. There's, like, so many different people out there.
He was a late bloomer. Yeah, way generation before. See, what threw him off is this here, is that they don't, see, it's all about reputation, you know. It's all about getting a reputation. I mean, it's all about getting wisdom, knowledge, you know, and dignity. You know, it's all about self-hate. You know, it's all about that with these youngsters now, trying to get a reputation and trying to put fear in people's hearts, you know, so they can continue
to
kill themselves.
And I've seen it through that.
You know, and see, so what it is, they don't understand that. When I say Crip multiplication and turf off, that means that it went from Long Beach all the way to all over the west side of South Central LA, to all the way to New York. They got payback Crips in New York and no telling some of the gangs that have started. You know, I put my work in, but in a positive way, not on the same level that they are doing it right now. It's all about unity, you know. It's all about unity. And like I say, I was with, in the beginning, I was with Ron Karinga in the beginning, you know, in the beginning. So, you know, I was trained very, very well, you know, about our past history, you know. So, you know.
Oh, man, God is good. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We just want to say we've been having a great, great show tonight, man. And, hey, God bless
beautiful.
You and keep up the good work.
Same with you
and,
guys, man.
You
guys are a lovely couple, man. What you're doing, man, God. I mean, you guys are in my prayer, you know, and I knew everything was going to go all right, you know. And it has always controversy. Controversy always is always going to be there because – That's how you overcome, you know. And so, like I tell them, even in the Bible, God sent the disciples, and he told Isaac, he said, when you go, don't go humble. You know, he prepared him and gave him all kind of leaves and things like that to curse Satan and everything. And he said, go strong. You know, go strong. So just because I'm into Christ, I'm into God, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm a fake, you know, and all of that. You know what I'm saying? But I got to touch the key.
kids what they realize, what they need to know, you know what I'm saying, and who I am, you know. But the way through right. all of this is through Christ. And, you know, that's
the right.
way through all this.
And
so
we're
going to survive. And you know, what's so funny about it is that a guy called me, emailed me, and told me there's a man supposed to cry. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, man, a man, when you cry, that lets out a whole lot. You know,
right.
that lets out a whole lot. And you want to be tough. You want to be tough. You don't want to cry. You want to hold on in. You'll die young. You know, because when
Amen.
You cry, that lets out a whole lot. What about when your mother, your father, your sister, your cousin, your loved ones die? You going to hold all that in?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Gotta let that out.
You know, I don't. These guys,
yeah,
they want to be tough. They want to be tough. And I done been there. You know, and God has brought me out of all that. You know, it wouldn't.
Right.
The things that I have done in my life. You know, in my crippled life, the things I done from the beginning. I started off fighting. You know, I started off fighting, and I never got into the gunplay and all that, and that's what hurts me so bad, is that we kill each other because of all that, because of fear. It takes a coward to use a gun. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
What is
mm-hmm.
An ass whooping when you can respect one another after it's all over with?
Amen.
Right.
My man.
You know,
man.
That's what it's all about.
Hey, I got a question
so,
for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Raymond would have been a boxing champion if he had somebody direct him in the right way? Since he loved to
be a
fighter,
Raymond was very, very athletic. Let me tell you. No, Raymond had a heart. Raymond was a humanitarian, but he had a mission. He had a mission to do, you know. And he didn't have self hate, you know. Raymond was another Marcus Garvey, you know, Malcolm X, you know, that's what he was. But in his time, you know. But what it was, they feared him so much that they had to kill him like they did.
Right.
You know. And Raymond could have been another. What's the boy named with the wide shoulders? The one that took a Holyfield's ear off.
Tyson?
Yeah, he could have been another Tyson. Yeah, he could have been another Tyson. Yeah, he could have been another Tyson. But in the beginning, all of us were street fighters, and all the neighborhood street fighters, tough street fighters, reputable street fighters came together, and we started our own gang on the west side, and that's what it consisted of, you know. So you know, and that's what it was all about, fighting. You know, but it was so, we got so huge. Like I say, you know, in order for them to combat us, they had to use guns, you know, because we got so big. You know, and then the self-hate, and then like this guy don't know that the rivalry, the first quick killings began with the 80s and the 60s. I belong to both of those neighborhoods, you know.
Right.
Both those neighborhoods, before even the Crips even came out, I belonged to both of those neighborhoods, you know. So, and the latter part, after the Crips had started, you know, I was there to stop this and stop that, stop this from happening, let everybody know, you know, that it's all about unity, we all are one, you know. So this guy, he really doesn't know, you know, he really doesn't know. So, and I'm just glad I give all the glory to God that he's given me the gift, you know, to be with people like you guys and be in this movement, you know,
right.
So we can get this stuff together. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to leave our legacy, and we're going to do it.
That's right.
It's done.
I got to have you just clarify one more thing. Tell us how the Crips name came about, because we know they were first called the Avenue Cribs, and that's because I don't know, they were young, and then it went to Crips because somebody or several of the gang members carried canes.
We wore the canes and stuff like this. We were stylish. We had class. You know, the canes.
But it was everybody, not just one person.
What happened was, it was Cribs. Reverend Washington started the Cribs. It's a lot of stories that have been told. Raymond was battling as a baby. Avenue was battling with the bishops, and they had guns. And Raymond wasn't in the guns, so Raymond said, "Well, you know, I'm going to the crib and get the gap."
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then another story is from his family saying that his brother was had broke his foot, you know, and they wrote Crip on his. We really don't know. And me and Raymond were very tight. And when Raymond came to the West Side, we started hanging around with each other, you know. And Raymond used to tell everybody that me and him was the leader of the Crips, you know. And meaning that me, him on the East, and I'm on the West, you know. But I tell you a story though. When Tookie announced that Tookie was against the Crip multiplication and Turf Off, you know, about us starting new turf, new name, and that was Raymond's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Tookie was against that. Tookie was actually a bodybuilder. He moved to Compton with Bob Simmons, and when he came to the West Side, you know, he was big and buff, and he came to to show himself off, you
mm-hmm.
know. But as far as putting in work and doing all of that, you know what I'm saying? It mostly became out of the Crip multiplication and Turf Off, Raymond Washington's legacy, which I started in 1972. You know,
right.
So I'm explaining all this in my book, Crip Chronicle,
okay.
Crip the Christ. You
okay.
know, so I've been writing this book for almost 20 years now, and I haven't finished it yet. You know, so if you guys, you know, can give me some kind of leeway, you know, I got two ghostwriters, and if you can give me some kind of leeway, and you know, maybe we can work together and do our thing. They're talking to the brother, say he has his own publishing company. That would be fine too, you know, because I'm not a greedy man. You know, I've done a lot of work for nothing, you know. For the purpose of Christ, you know. I haven't gained anything off the work that I've been doing, you know, since 1991 with All in the Same Gang. I didn't even get paid for that. My exception got rich off of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not all about that. You know, it's all about the history. It's all about the legacy that our forefathers have left, you know. So that's what it's all about. And we didn't talk about the the young slave against the old slave, the father against the mother, what is that called? We didn't talk about that.
Not sure.
We didn't talk about the Willie Lynch syndrome, but all that's a part of it. Conspiracy to genocide, you know, all the
mm-hmm.
time. We didn't get that deep with them. So.
Well, yeah, there's so much. I mean, just like all the people in prison, you know, it all started with the war on drugs in the, you know, early 80s or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and most of the people in prison are there. I think 55% of the people in the prison systems are there for drug crimes, and that doesn't mean that they're
crack.
Violent.
Yeah, crack. Yeah, crack.
I mean, one of Rob's friends is in prison for life on his first offense, drug deal.
Oh, you know, there's people
going in and coming out after committing several murders. You know, they spend 20 years in prison and they're out.
Yeah.
Why are these people
out.
In prison
yeah.
for a
yeah.
drug-related
yeah.
crime? It's
mm-hmm.
just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Those laws need to change.
Yeah. But I'm glad that brother, you know, that he verified, you know, about you know, the things that I had to say, you know, because, being 26 years old, he's very, very knowledgeable, you know, and for him to be teaching, and that's what we need, and that's what we need in this movement, to teach these kids, because, you know, if we can only touch one or two kids a day or a year, you know, we're doing our work, you know, because
right.
it will go on, passed down from generation to generation,
you know, and before you know it, because right now, you know, hey, you know, it's coming to the end. It's actually mm-hmm. coming to the end. If you look at it right now and just take everything and just stop, you know, and just like the playoffs, you know, if you let it go right now and just say we'll go straight to the playoffs, you know, hey, that's where we stand right now, you know.
Right.
We have to touch it. And I think it's so beautiful what you guys are doing. I think you're a very, very lovely couple. You know, I admire the picture.
Thank you.
You guys are really blessed. And I hope, hopefully, you guys will, because, you know, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, you know, and vice versa. You know, so, you know, just hang in there and just do your thing. Just do your thing. And I appreciate it, man. Yeah, just hang in there.
God definitely blessed me with a great one, you know what I mean?
Yes.
God definitely blessed me, man. So I had to take my blessing and give him all praise and glory every time.
I just even
think of my business, you feel me? And that's every mm-hmm. second of the day, you know?
We'll have to tell that story
sometime, Pookie. But yeah,
definitely
had a hand of God in it.
Don't let it fall. You know, I read a book about the lovey and the lover. You know, it goes to stages. You know, at first everything, you know what I'm saying? But when God got his hands in it, it's a 50, 60 years. It's a death do us part. And I mean,
That's what it is on this team. You can say that 10 times. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, you know?
Yes.
Can't nobody get that misunderstood at the table.
So I just want to encourage you guys that you're a beautiful couple. You know, you're doing a beautiful thing. You know, I really appreciate you guys calling me in and recognizing and supporting me as I support you. I love you both, you know, with all my heart.
Love y'all too, man.
Thank you. We thank you
and Skip, Vicky, and everybody, man, for all y'all work y'all doing out there. And we definitely look forward to going to Roscoe. So tell Skip we're going to Roscoe when I come out there.
Well, we got a lot of other places too, man. We prepare when y'all get here. Definitely.
Okay, that's what it is then, you know.
Tell him to get that holiday thing planned out so we can make plans to come out there.
Sure. Yeah, get together and keep doing your thing and it will happen. You know, then we can come towards that way as well.
That's right.
Yeah, ain't no doubt, man. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you calling in tonight, man, and God bless. And like we always say, the streets don't love you back.
That's right. Come on with it. That's right.
Well,
Go ahead. Yeah, that was a prime example of tonight was a prime example of that.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah, a prime example of that. You know. Yeah, because I go in these schools and I get these youngsters. I got Bloods, Crips, and everybody, haters and everything going to school in unity at one. You know. And these guys don't see nothing. They want to rep for their own self. You know, they want to be all this and all of that. That's self hate. It's actually self hate.
Yeah, and they can't love anybody else if they don't love themselves. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know. So, well, I can't wait to hear from you guys again, and let's stay in communication. And
when do you think you're going to finish your book?
Well, you know, hopefully I'll finish it by the summer. I've been working on it for 20 years, you know. But like I say, you know, like I say, it's finished. All I gotta do is put it together. That's all I gotta do is put it in chapters and put it together. You know, I've had two movie deals, but they didn't want to give me the right. You know, they didn't want to give me 10% this and all that kind of. They wanted all my rights to the movie, all my rights to to my book, all my rights to my speaking engagements. They wanted all of that.
Greedy people.
I didn't go through it.
But I still have my. I sent you my media kit. Did you get that?
No, I didn't.
Did you get my media kit?
No.
That's why I asked you for your email.
I didn't get
the bio.
Huh? No, I kind of made up the bio by going on your websites and stuff and getting information.
Okay, well, I'll send you my media kit and
okay.
You know, maybe we can get together and join together and collaborate. On all of that, and you know, maybe we can work together and collaborate. I'll send it back to you tonight.
Okay.
And maybe we can get together.
Yeah, definitely. I've been working on a book here too for about a year, and it's all about gangs, drugs, and violence in the whole United States over like the
right.
last 10 years. And I have stacks of papers right here on my desk, trying to get it all together in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And
I already know.
There's just so much information that you could put, and what should you put and what shouldn't you. And,
and you got to put it in chapters. I've been writing this for 20 years, and you know, and I've done so much, and on one of the programs with Ice-T and them, they Ice-T and Cube, and Ice Cube was on the documentary, and they were saying that about the shot caller, about the OG, you know, and then they had this other guy out of China talking about how he sent people out to kill people, and this and that, and this and that. He's the shot caller, and then they got my picture flashing across thing, you know. And I'm saying, wow, why you guys doing me like that? You know, I
thought you were the shot caller, huh? You were the shot caller, huh?
Yeah, you got me, you know. So, you know, like I say, you know, it's a lot. It's all about reputation, and that guy was a prime example for that tonight, you know. But I put my work in, and I did what I did. I did what I did, and you know, now I've changed my life over, and so now I'm a paid Crip because, you know, I'm still a Crip. I'm a Crip for life, but I'm God's angel as well for life. You know what I'm saying? But it's Crip to Christ. You know,
right.
That's what it's
Amen.
Really all about.
Well, and we know what you're doing, and we know who you hang out with, so we know what kind of a person you are, and you're a changed person from being that young kid that you were at one time, you know, and hopefully everybody will grow up at some time or other and realize that, you know, you made some bad choices.
That's what it is. So I will send you, you gave me your email, and I will send you that media kit, and hopefully let's work together so we can work together and we can actually come up together. Is that agreeable
sure.
with you guys?
Definitely.
Okay, Let's do it. I'll send you all the information I got and everything.
Okay. Sounds
okay,
good.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Thanks, Pookie.
Okay.
Well, we're just
going to
go
later.
Out. Okay, thank you. We're going to just go out with a song, the Streets Don't Love You Back remix here at the end. Thanks, Yolanda, for hanging out with us. And I know our visitor that's just listening is still here with us. And for the rest of the listeners out there online and out in the communities, thank you so much for supporting us. And you know, please join our movement at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning, or just look us up, Google us, The Streets Don't Love You Back. You'll see us everywhere. And, you know, join the movement and help us out, you know, wherever you are, you know. Like I said, you can't do everything. You can't change the whole world, but you can change your little corner of the world. You can change your little community. And, you know, just got to do it.
Amen.
Don't miss.
All right.
Alrighty. Well, here we go.
Okay.
We're going to go out, and we will see you back here next Wednesday night. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Be good, my folks.
You too.
What's up? What's up? This is RB checking in. But the Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD. Talking about that thug/drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Because the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, so join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Track here, it's a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that can live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway, Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. God, he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures. Are we all alone when we born? We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm a bust. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. And lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
and
on.
It's all be checking back in with you, like I said, it's that traffic knowledge. Then you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.